Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to Thursday. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Feedback, 715-845-2155. Do you know who Don Lemon is?
Don Lemon. The name sounds familiar.
He's a Brit on CNN.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. He got in trouble a while back for saying some stupid stuff, right?
That's shocking because of what he just did last night.
Did he do something again?
Well, it's not really. He didn't say anything offensive, but when it comes to just being ridiculous, he's the king.
Uh-huh.
Don Lemon is basically a British tabloid reporter that CNN brought on board. CNN has been floundering in the ratings up until this Malaysian airliner disappearance. CNN, just their ratings bounced way back up, and they are trying to milk it for everything they can. Now, from a business standpoint, okay, I got it. Run with it. Do everything you can. We got to talk about this Malaysian airliner. We've got ratings. Finally, somebody is actually paying us to do this gig. And I think Don Lemon went George Noory on us.
He's the guy that made the suggestion that the plane disappeared into a black hole.
Yes.
Ah.
He's got a panel on. And they're discussing on his program on CNN, they're discussing theories about what happened. And listen, that's not so bad. We've done it here. We've talked about, oh, what if this? What if that? How about this? This is a fine format for him to do. Have people on, talk about what might happen.
Yeah.
What if this happened? What are the ramifications? That's fine. That's exactly what he should be doing. But and then he goes all coast to coast George Noory on us and goes, What if a black hole, is it preposterous to consider a black hole as a possibility?
Wait a minute. You must have him confused with somebody else.
I'm reading this little guy right here.
I'm reading his background. He's not British.
Well, he talks with a British accent, doesn't he? The guy that's right here, he's British, right?
He's from Baton
Rouge.
He's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Well, Baton Rouge people talk with
a British accent,
too.
Went to college at Brooklyn College in New York.
All right, well, then he's not the same guy. I'm looking at this picture, and it looks like the guy that's British. I don't watch.
African-American guy.
Oh, okay. So it's the other guy that's on there with him that was the preposterous factor. Okay, no, this is not. See, I don't watch him. I don't watch CNN.
You must have.
I read the article.
Somebody else.
I'm looking at a picture of him panel, and the guy that's on there I recognize as being a Brit. Anyway, the point of it is, and I apologize. That's my mistake. A bad mistake too. Anyway, he's asking if whether or not a black hole is a possibility. Now. My reason for bringing this up is that's just milking this. There's no way a black hole sucked up an airplane and left all of the Earth alone.
Well, I don't know. A rip in the space-time continuum. That's what
happens, that was next.
Right? The ripple in the space-time continuum.
No. A black hole is...
What is your explanation for all of the planes that have disappeared over the years in various places, including the Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. There's a lot of magnetic storms that have caused planes to go down.
So you're saying that they all crash for some reason, that they're at the bottom of the ocean, we just can't find them.
Well, UFOs didn't take them.
That you know of.
Okay. One of the things that's very interesting about why ships have disappeared is, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Mythbusters, great physicists that they are, tested this theory on a small scale of like nitrogen or other air bubbles being emitted from the bottom of the ocean, causing the water to be less dense. And therefore, the water displacement, as the boat goes over this area that is roiling with bubbles, that kind of thing, being emitted from the bottom of the ocean, the water is less dense. Therefore, the water displacement for the boat is now less of a weight of the boat. Boom. It's like driving over quicksand. The boat goes right to the bottom.
Well, yeah, but they've done radar searches and have found no trace of some of these ships and some of these planes. You know, no crash, no wreckage.
Okay, you're right. It was UFOs. UFOs, for whatever reason, came down to Earth, took airplanes, took ships, and don't bother to communicate with us. They wanted whatever cargo was on the plane. Well, you're right.
Maybe there's a prime directive that they can't communicate with us. You know,
anyway,
we're not ready for them yet.
So he goes on, and he's talking about this issue. Now, Mary Schiavo, a former inspector general for the U.S. Department of Transportation, said even a small black hole would suck our entire universe in, so we know that it's not that. Thank you. I mean, it was
these pundits should not be talking about science if they don't know anything about science. Get Neil deGrasse Tyson on the case. He could tell you about black holes.
Sure.
And
shouldn't be making
watch
comments.
Watch Cosmos, and then you can find
shouldn't
out.
Shouldn't be making comments about CNN commentators. You don't know who the hell they are.
That's right. Absolutely.
Then he goes, well, he obviously learned his lesson. He goes, oh, okay. Well, what about if the plane entered a wormhole into another dimension? Like, dude, just stop while you're ahead. A wormhole into another dimension.
A rip in the space-time continuum.
These are all theories based on physics
well, we
theory.
We have as much proof that this didn't happen as anything else. We have but that hasn't stopped the pundits from pontificating about what has happened to the plane. Well, we don't know for sure, but it might have crashed. It might have been hijacked. It might have landed in a jungle somewhere. It might have been shot down.
Well, other people that actually have a grip on what's going on came out and said, listen, here's one of the things that we really have to be aware of. If the plane crashed because of some kind of mechanical error, there have been proponents that have said, okay, what if there was some type of an oxygen leak or a failure in the air system in the cockpit, the pilots passed out, the plane diverts off of and just runs out of fuel. Remember the golfer was
a Payne Stewart. But the thing that points you away from that is that the transponder and everything was turned off
exactly
before it changed course.
Exactly. This individual was trying to put people at ease of saying, listen, if it was a natural explanation, then there's no reason for real serious concern.
I think the two things they're looking at seriously now that are going to come into play in this is that the erased material off the flight simulator in the pilot's house.
Yes.
And the fact that the pilot was a supporter of this opposition leader in Malaysia who's been under some scrutiny court cases.
The scary thing is, if this was a case of the pilot making a decision to make a political statement, co-pilot, both of them together, if this was a suicide pact by the pilot where he decided, I'm going to make a political statement by doing this, we have an entire new threat to deal with. How do you screen and protect you and I as passengers from a deranged pilot?
Think about flying in general. You are putting your life in the hands of a guy, and in the hands of machinery, and in the hands of the guys who are taking care of the plane. And you know, you're putting your life in their hands every day.
Sure. Well, you do that when you get in your car,
and you don't think about it until you're back safely on the ground.
Right.
Hopefully,
you're hurtling down the highway at 80 miles an hour,
putting your life in the hands of the guy driving from the other direction that he's not going to cross the center line and hit you head on.
Or the guy, it's in the semi truck behind you with a tanker truck full of milk or fuel. He's not deciding today's my day.
Hey,
I'm going.
I tell you what, when I'm driving down the highway, and this may be paranoid, but when I'm driving down the highway and all of a sudden I get next to a tanker truck, I immediately either speed up or slow down so I'm not next to the tanker truck anymore.
Well, that's wise. So that you're...
Just in case of the one in a zillion chance that the thing decides to implode that day or explode that day, I'm not caught in the crossfire.
Right. Or more likely, something pulls out in front of him, something jumps out, and he swerves to avoid that, doesn't see you, and squashes you like a bug.
But if we lived our lives that way, well, that's the old line about worrying about nuclear annihilation. If we lived our lives that way, thinking about it every day, we wouldn't leave our houses. We wouldn't leave our beds.
That is the theory of this individual, is that the weapon of terrorists is terror. If they instill in us fear that prevents us from conducting our lives in a normal way.
If he wanted to do this, though, it's a terrorist act. Wouldn't he try to bring the plane down in an area where there would be more damage or where we would actually know that he brought the plane down?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not getting a whole lot of publicity this way.
Well, I don't know whether he was thinking. I don't think a deranged individual who's thinking of ending his life and taking 200 plus people with him is thinking, what is the best way I can get on CNN? You know, what exactly is the, they're thinking, I'm going to make a statement to the world. They're not being nitpicky about how and how much coverage and how many minutes they get. It's just a very, very interesting theory. Anyway, that was the only criticism I had of the CNN thing. It's like, guys, I understand on a business level, milking it for everything it's worth, but having somebody come on and put forth the idea of a black hole, it's just ridiculous. It diminishes the authority of CNN. It diminishes any of their believability.
Oh, it could be a rip in the time-space continuum.
Now, if it was on George Noory's show, if it was on the, you know, Coast to Coast that comes on before we do, mm-hmm. Well, that's the proper place for it. I got it. Is that the kind of show this guy does? Have you ever, you know, that's why I asked, did you know who he was? Is that the kind of thing he does?
No.
Is it UFOs
no.
and tinfoil no. hats as an explanation
no.
for everything? No.
Although he has suggested, one of his other suggestions was that something supernatural happened to the planet.
Ghosts? Okay. Evil spirits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the witch doctor in the Malaysian airport doing his gig to try to find the thing.
What did he say it was? He said it was either on the ground or in the ocean.
Right. looking through his bamboo binoculars.
He was right. Look at that.
And, you know,
he may be right.
We make jokes about this, but there are 230 people that are probably dead, so it's really nothing we should probably joke about.
You should quit making jokes about it, Tom. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. When we come back, I've got another individual that I understand what he was saying. It's Roland Martin.
The fisherman?
Roland Martin, again, he's a former CNN host.
Oh, not the same guy.
No. He came out and made some comments about us criticizing Russia moving into Crimea. He's pointing out American hypocritical thought. I understand what he's saying. I'm not sure he does. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
Sean Hannity, today at 2 on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
All right, welcome back to Feedback. 715-845-2155 is the phone number in case you want to be a part of the program. 715-845-2155. All right, let's talk about this gentleman that I mentioned, a former CNN contributor. Let's see here. Hang on a second.
He's now on something called TV One.
Roland Martin.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Rowan and Martin. Although it could be saying the same funny. He comes out and he says, for those of us Americans who are criticizing the Russians for going into Crimea, we need to shut up because we're being hypocritical. And then, Tom, if you will go through the list of examples that he's giving of Americans getting involved.
Sure, I've got sort of like the transcript here. In fact, I think I've got the audio here if you want to hear that.
But yeah, sure, why not?
All right, let's see if this works.
Let's just be honest. Who the hell is America fooling to tell somebody else, another country, who you can invade and cannot invade? Last I checked, we invaded Iraq. Am I correct? Have we still found weapons of mass destruction? No.
Okay, hold it right there. Uh-huh. Okay, he says we invaded Iraq. Now, invading Iraq, if he means the military action against Saddam Hussein, yes, we did. But why did we go in? Because they annexed Kuwait. There's a difference between what the Russians are doing with Crimea. There's a big difference there.
No, he's talking about the second invasion, the actual invasion of Iraq, not kicking Iraq out of Kuwait.
Okay.
I think everybody would agree that the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait needed to be answered with military
force. Okay, then let me respond there, too. Whether it was right or wrong, we now know that our information was incorrect. And I know that some people are saying that W did it to defend Daddy, whatever. We went into Iraq the second time because Saddam Hussein was violating UN sanctions and nobody was doing anything about it. We had information that said that there were very dangerous weapons of mass destruction that he was ready to use. Turned out to be false. There were reasons we went in, not just to take over the oil fields. Russia is going into Crimea simply to take control of the oil pipeline. All right, so let's go on with the other.
You don't agree with the Russian position that Crimea is actually a part of Russia, has had been for hundreds of years, and the people there are Russian and need to be protected from.
New Mexico, Texas were once part of Mexico.
Yes,
so
they
should
are.
You're saying we should give it back? No.
No, but what,
next
would,
example.
What would happen if Mexico decided, what would happen if New Mexico, the state of New Mexico, decided they wanted to become part of Mexico again? Would we send in troops? Of course we would.
It's a good example. Good thought. Good question. All right. Further, other examples.
Afghanistan, for the most part, we chose to go into Iraq. So now all of a sudden we're castigating Putin for going into Ukraine. So Americans, can you please stop with the hypocritical nature of your criticism?
Okay.
Can you please stop
with
the ridiculous?
Some of the other things he talks about was we overthrew Hawaii. That's how it became a state. We overthrew Allende. Democratically elected in Chile and put in the dictator Pinochet. We overthrew Mazadeh in Iran, democratically elected, and that's one reason why the Iranians are still PO'd with us today.
Let's not forget with Pockface. What's his name in Bogota? The guy that was the drug runner. He was our CIA.
In Panama.
Panama. Noriega.
He also mentions the invasion of Grenada, supposedly to protect medical students.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think that, anyway. Okay. So what he's saying, if I'm going to boil this down, what he's saying is the United States was wrong in all of these invasions.
Well,
is that accurate?
I don't know if he's saying that or if he's saying, since we do it, who are we to criticize somebody else without coming off
as being
hypocritical?
That's understandable. But what I'm trying to do is point out what he's saying in a deeper meaning. Is he saying that he agrees or disagrees with the United States taking these military actions? My understanding from listening to him and reading his transcript is that he says we were wrong
to do these things. I think he would disagree with many of them. I think that's correct.
So it would be that we are wrong. So therefore, why is it that we are now hypocritical for saying Russia is wrong? If it was wrong for us to do it, why is it okay for Russia to do it?
He's saying that he believes that those previous actions were wrong. Our government isn't saying that. Our government has never said that.
Okay.
And the people who support there are many people who support those incursions into other countries.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. But for an individual to call me and other Americans a hypocrite because what we did in our past was wrong, that's the same as saying, well, don't criticize what just happened now with Russia going into Crimea. That's wrong, but you have no right to criticize it because you've done wrong too.
I don't think he's suggesting that what the Russians are doing is wrong. I think he is suggesting the Russians are protecting their people and taking back territory that was once theirs.
Then he doesn't really understand world politics.
He also says, this is great, he says, Americans don't really care. Seriously, we don't care what's happening in Ukraine. Ask most Americans how to find Ukraine or Crimea or even Russia on the map. Mm-hmm. Americans are sick and tired of wars. We're tired of trying to tell everybody else their business. America lost the moral authority after what took place in Iraq. We no longer have the same level of trust across the world we used to enjoy. And he also mentions the Russian invasion of Georgia back in, 2008? That what President George W. Bush did at the time is exactly what President Obama is doing now. Holding news conferences, sanctions, and there was no moral outrage or troops being thought about to be sent into that situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that the rule of thumb is you always criticize the position that America takes, always, especially when it is advantageous to your position. However, don't use the same criticism of your own actions. To criticize the United States for these invasions, as he sees it, and not criticize the Russians for doing the exact same thing, that is hypocritical. To criticize the United States for making mistakes, as he sees it. It was a mistake to go in. It was a mistake to do this. It was wrong to do this. It was imperialistic to go in and do these changes. It was imperialistic for us to enforce our will on these other countries. That's what he's saying. And then not to criticize Russia for doing the exact same thing, that's ignorant and hypocritical. And if he feels that, I understand what he says when he says most Americans don't care. He's right. There's a lot of us that are like, dude, I got to worry about feeding the kids. I got to worry about getting to work tomorrow. I got to figure out how I'm going to pay the mortgage this month. I don't give a flying rat's butt what happens in Crimea. It doesn't affect the food on my table right now. But those of us who pay closer attention, we understand that many major conflicts have started over smaller issues than this.
You're not going to try to suggest to me that this is some domino that is going to set a row of dominoes
But listen,
falling.
Here's the thing. We have an individual that feels that it is perfectly okay to move into an area and claim it as their own when sovereignty has been established, borders have been established, and recognized diplomatically around the world. His attitude is, screw you. Ukraine, Crimea, mine. What you going to do about it? So how do we know that he's not going to feel the same way about other areas? Europe is sitting at his front door. Europe has got the pucker power going on right now. It may not be critical about the Crimean area right this very minute, but if we don't discourage him, what's going to prevent him from going, Finland, it is nice this time of year. WSAU, we'll be right back.
The News, Talk, and Packers Station. News Talk 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.